so serious, my message today, I brought two devices. So it's good to see all of you, and it's good to not see all of you. I mean, not that I don't want to see you. I do want to see you. But I know the expression is, I know that I see you through that, but I don't see you, but I know that you're there. So I'm encouraged by that. Thank you so much for the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning. And I was so inspired by the worship. You guys need to be here. I know, because this is fuller and richer worship, but I know you're still worshiping at home. So I'm encouraged by that, but let's continue to pray that the Lord will make a way so we can be physically together. This Zoom thing is secondary. It's, you know, not so good in terms of fellowship and touch. That's what we need, touch. If you read your bulletin, I got it electronically. I have the title of the message, Two. And you're like, what? How complicated is that, Two? Well, anytime you see either Genesis or John in the scripture title of the message, then you know it has something to do with my passion and the book that I'm writing. So I'm actually writing about this, and it was so overwhelming in my heart that I had to share at least some of it, and here it is. So Genesis 1:1, and the title of the message is 2. So let's get into this. Say it with me at home. God said, let there be light, and there was light. When we think about that, and as I was meditating on this reality, I was thinking, how did light know how to be? God just said, let there be light, and called it by name, light, but how did light determine itself and make itself exist by the power of God? In what way? Should it be a particle? Should it be a wave? Should it be radiation? Should it be light? Should it be dark? Should it, I mean, what should the temperature be? I don't know. How is it deep? What frequency should it be? I don't know. All of these questions came up when I thought about the fact that God said light and there was light, and he saw that it was good, but light had to distinguish itself from everything else. So I'm going, we're missing something here. And how do we find out about this? I was puzzled for a long time. And to some degree, I'm still a lot puzzled. It demonstrated to me that we need to meditate on God's word day and night in order to know him better. And in order to do so, let's practice something else, or say it with me again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everybody recognizes that. But let's try this. Let's try this in Hebrew. I am going to show you Hebrew. And when I do, and it comes up, good. Is it? Oops. No. Back up. Okay, here it is. Can you see that? Would you put that up for me? Apple TV. Definitely. Okay. Here we go. Fantastic. All right. So here, we have to read Hebrew from right to left because that's how it was originally written and that's how it is, which means English is backwards. Okay? Hebrew is correct and we are incorrect if we want to follow after God's process. So we start from here and we go this way. It's Barashit bara Elohim et Hashemayim ve'et Haaretz. I know you guys don't know Hebrew, but it's okay, because I'm going to teach you some Hebrew. I have to, in order for you to understand some of these things that I will be emphasizing. Okay? You don't have to know how to pronounce it. If you want to grow in your pronunciation, that's great. But the first word in the Bible is Barashit, which means in the beginning. I'm going to translate this for you. This is in the beginning, created God, et is a direct object marker. They don't even translate that. It's saying this is the direct object. And then it says the heavens. And then here's another direct object marker, which says this is the direct object. Okay? This little addition right here is and. Okay? So two direct objects. So in the beginning, created God, the heavens, and the earth. This is the first thing that he created. This is the second thing he created. All right? Okay. Going back to Bereshit, when we think of God's word, we would say, okay, how would he begin writing the scriptures, his word? Should he begin with this, which is actually B, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, right here, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet? You would think that God would start with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but he didn't do that. He started with the second one. Okay? So when we go back and we look at the sentence, Bereshit, it begins with the second one, and you go, wait a minute, God, this is your word. Shouldn't you start with the first one? Why didn't you start with the first one? I mean, the first one is representative of first God himself, Prince. That's what the letter means. Why did you not start with that one instead of B? The word or the pronunciation of this first letter of the Bible is Aleph. Aleph is where we get the Hebrew or the Greek alphabet A or Alpha. And then the second Greek letter of the alphabet is Beta, which we get from Bet of Hebrew. So Greek comes from Hebrew, and the first letter and the second letter are very, very similar in sound. That's where we get the word alphabet. So alphabet is actually the first and second letters of the Hebrew alphabet, okay, right here, and the, oops, sorry. Stop bothering me. All right. So Hebrew alphabet A and B, Aleph, Bet, alphabet in Greek, and alphabet in English. Okay? So there we have it. So we have the second letter starting in Hebrew, and we have to find out what's going on, and we have to find out also how did the light figure out what its characteristics should be. Well, there's a big difference in English and Hebrew. I have to emphasize this to you, and we'll do it in a growing way, not all in one session, because I can't, that's impossible. In English, we primarily know the words by pronunciation, by sound. So when we say hit, H-I-T, it's by sound. If you see the spelling, you sound it out, and then it means what it means. But if I give you a word like contract, or C-O-N-T-R-A-C-T, you won't know which one it is unless you pronounce it. Is it contract or contract? Depending on how it sounds, the definition is determined. Well, Hebrew is also a sound language, but it's much more than that. It is a sound language just like English, but it is also a picture language. So when we look at the Hebrew letters, this is supposed to be an ox. I'm going to put it in red. It's supposed to be an ox head, meaning power and first and authority, all of that. And it evolved into this letter from that beginning. Bet is actually a house or a tent. And this is how we get the English. It's just straightened up. It's a house, right? So, I can't go through all the letters. I'm just letting you know part of it because I have to show you this. So the language of Hebrew tells us much more than English would. So let's look at the first letter and find out what is going on in terms of what God is saying in Genesis 1:1 alone. Okay, if the first letter is B, and the third thing that I have to tell you is every letter is a number. Every letter is a number. So Hebrew never had numbers. It was just like Roman numerals. They expressed themselves with words and connected the letters together to give us numbers. So Aleph is 1 and then 2. It goes all the way up to 10. Just keep changing? I don't know. Okay, 10. And then from 10, it goes by tens to the 100. Right here. Tens to the hundreds. And then from there, 400. Apparently, that's all they needed. Okay? So, and then we can make all kinds of combinations out of that. So there's three ways that we can read Hebrew. One by sound, one by image. So every letter is an image. When we put the images together, we actually get a whole picture. And then numbers. And this bet corresponds to the number 2. And number 2 is how it starts. The Bible starts with number 2. You go, Lord, why did you start with number 2 instead of number 1? You are God, primary, so we should assume that you would begin with you. Why 2? Why bet? Oh boy. Here we go. B doesn't really begin to make sense until we see the second letter. The second letter is R. Okay. BR is actually a word. BR is bar. And if you recall, in the New Testament, it says Simon bar Jonah. What does Simon bar Jonah mean? Simon, son of Jonah. The first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet says son. Now we understand, the Bible begins with the son. Son of whom? Well, the third letter is Aleph, which is the letter for God. The one with all authority. Prince. So, the first three letters of the Hebrew Bible versus just the first three letters, verse 1, it says, Son of God. If you put them all together, of course it says, in beginning, because be itself is a word, and it's in. The Bible begins with the word in. How boring is that? Until you come to the New Testament, and everything is in Christ. Everything is in Christ. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. In is Christ, turns out. So the first two letters of the Hebrew Scriptures tells us that the Word of God begins with the Son of God. And here, if we continue to move on this vein, we see that even the second letter, okay, so 2 points to, and I'm going to switch the colors, 2 points to the second letter, right here, second letter, which is head, or prince, or first, even. Okay? So if it points to the second letter, then what it's doing is it's saying the prince came out of the house. See, because remember, bet is an image of a house. So the prince came out of the house. What house? House. His heaven. He came out of the house to do what? Start everything from the beginning. So that's pointing to the second letter. What's the second word? Well, second word is the same thing. Remember, we just got done with this. It's the same thing. It's the Son of God. What's the definition of Son of God? In words, it's created. So his name or his description is already the verb created. So we have the two, which is pointing to the second word, which is pointing to Christ again. So let's look at every other word. So here's two, here's the two, and here's the other two, right? So two is pointing to the second letter, two is pointing to the first two letters, two is pointing to the second word, the second word after that, and the second word after that. What is this? Well, that's not even translated. It's not even translated. We don't even translate this word because it is a direct object marker, supposedly. But then later on, we found out, no, it's not just, I mean, it's not superfluous. We don't just discard it because it's not translated. It should be translated. But what it does is it tells us right here, it's the first letter of the Bible and the last letter of the Bible together. In Greek, it would be Alpha and Omega. In English, it would be A to Z. And what did he say he was in the Revelation when he talked to John? He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega in Greek. In Hebrew, it would be the Aleph and the Bet. And then if we go back to the first sentence, it would be Aleph and the Tav, which is A to Z or Alpha and Omega. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. So here is Son of God, Son of God, Son of God, and Son of God. Every two words. Two begins in Genesis. And it is emphasized all over. I mean, it just keeps going. The two things that he created are heavens and the earth. Two is plastered all over. This is where he introduces light and darkness, good and evil, left and right, male and female, flows from all of that. It flows from all of it. Not only that, but when this word comes up, what we have is this right here. I'm going to make it a highlight. Oops. I'm going to make it a highlight. In pink. Yeah, a little bit bigger. Okay. Right here, Jesus sits between heaven and hell. I mean, heaven and earth. The first time, he is all by himself. That's where he reigns. Second time, he's connecting. Remember this little letter and? Yeah? Connecting the little letter and heaven. He connects heaven and earth, and is a mediator between the two. This is the first coming, and this is the second coming, where he's going to reign over everything. So here we are in the very first sentence. No information of this reality is given in English. I didn't realize there was so much information in Hebrew, and that's why I'm so excited to share with you. And do me a favor, start looking into Hebrew. Okay? Just start. You don't have to know everything. Just get it. Print it out from the internet, all the letters, and then the numbers correspondingly, and just look at the letters. And then find out what the images are. There's tons of them. And just start looking at it, because when I start mentioning stuff, you'll actually get to see it and hear it, and will begin to accumulate, because Hebrew needs to come back. If I had nothing to do, if I didn't have to feed my family, or whatever it is, all I would do is sit home and study Hebrew. Because I want to know the Lord. I want to know the Lord. That's why I would study Hebrew all day, all night, and that's why I want to share this with you. So, how significant is two in the world, in the universe? See, He created, as I said, heaven and earth, two. Created light and darkness, two. He created Adam and Eve, two. He created Jews and Gentiles, two. Bride and groom, two. Esau and Jacob were twins. All the parables, look at some of the parables. The prodigal son was about two sons. Pharisees and the tax collector, or the prayer of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the sheep and the goats, the two kinds of virgins, the two kinds of people, wise and foolish builders, the rich man and Lazarus, two sons who were told to go to the field. One said no and went, one said yes and didn't. The sower and the reaper, the plank in your eye or the speck in your eye, that's two. The house on the sand or house on the rock, the wheat and the weeds. And finally, the biggest comparison, Jesus and Satan. We have two testaments, the old and the new. We have two births, the first birth and the second birth. Those are just a few things. And I want to emphasize, practically speaking, that the reality of two needs to be taken to heart, because you can't avoid it. All right, here we go. The uniqueness of two is fabulous. I mean, it's crazy fabulous. All right, let's begin with the reality of prime numbers. Okay, as a reminder, the audience at home and everybody else, you may recall quickly that prime numbers are numbers that are only divisible by one in itself. Seven can only be divided evenly by one in itself. 11, one in itself. 5, 7, 3, 2. 2 is so unique because it is the only number. Not only is it the first number, but it's the only prime number that's even. No other number can be even and be prime at the same time. Here is the uniqueness of Jesus, one of a kind. You got odd and evens. That's two numbers, two sets of numbers, or two kinds of numbers. It highlights the reality that God created even numbers to be unique and reflect who Jesus is. Let's get practical, because I don't want to just teach you like facts. This is something that I am passionate about, and that is, I can't just blurt out stuff so that you can know I have lots of knowledge. I don't. I mean, I have knowledge, but this is only a scratch. And ever since I started studying the first sentence, I heard about a rabbi who studied it for 30 years. I'm going, okay, he is way ahead of me. I'm going to try to catch up as much as possible. And the best that he came up with when he reflected on was this, that when he saw Hebrew, he said, oh, look, A to Z, the first thing that he created was the alphabet. That makes sense, right? The first thing that he created was the alphabet, because then the alphabet will determine everything else. Like, for instance, light. Well, he has to speak a language. What kind of language is he going to speak? He's going to speak Hebrew. If he does speak Hebrew, then he has to design Hebrew in such a way that the light would understand exactly what he needs to be. That means that word has encased in it. I don't know how, and I would love to discover it. encased in it the reality of the characteristics of God and exactly how it needs to be. You won't see that in English. We have to discover it. Incidentally, this is the Hebrew word for light, ot, or, sorry. Got to erase part of it. Or. Okay. In other words, if I transliterated this and put it into English, it would be A-I-R, or air. I wonder if our English word air is linked to Hebrew in that way, because that's how it's spelled. So that's how I remember air. Everybody needs light like they need air. But here, we can't run away from two. Let's begin with our bodies. Can you run away from your body? No, you can't run away from your body. Your body will remind you of two every single day. When you look in the mirror, you're looking at the mirror with two eyes, two ears, two hands, two shoulders, one nose, but two nostrils. One mouth with up and down teeth, two lips. We have two lungs, two arms, two legs, two feet, two kidneys, two scrotums, two ovaries. Whenever one is emphasized, then there's a whole different emphasis that I'm not going to get into, but even the one heart has four compartments. That's two twice, a left side and a right side. We have our head. Our head has how many bones? Did you know it's not just one bone? It's not just two bones with a jawbone and a head bone. We've got ears that have bones. We have 22 bones in our head. We have 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. That's two twice. We have 22 chromosomes in our cells. So let's say you get up, you go outside, and you already ran into two, because now you're outside instead of inside. Now you're in the outside of the car and you go inside of the car. When you get inside of the car, you have two wheels in the front and two wheels in the back. That's a double two emphasis. You have four cylinders, six cylinders, eight cylinders, all paired up. Everything is divisible by two. You have a pedal for brakes and accelerator, and you have a pedal for brakes. Unless you have a stick, that's three. That's a special car. Special car. When you grab a phone and you turn it on, that's on, off, that's two. You scroll it up and down, that's two. You have good apps and you have bad apps, that's two. When you go to work, you have good and bad employees. You have leaders and you have followers. You have rich and you have not so rich. You have working hours and you have break, non-working hours. You have finished projects, you have unfinished projects. Everything is two. You're hired and you're fired. All are two. You get home, you're either single or you're married. You're either divorced or you're together. You have a good marriage or a bad marriage. You got a good life or a bad life. We're constantly running into two, because God designed life with two in mind. So, connect everything to Jesus first. Secondly, strive to be second. And this is really practical, because being second is actually a promotion. Okay? We can never be first in authority, because God has that. Not only that, but all authority he gave to Jesus. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth, everywhere, I have it. Second, got it. Because we can be first and then influence everything else, but if you're second, you're influencing everything else directly. What was first to be created? The heavens. What was second to be created? The earth. That means earth is actually has been elevated, okay? Earth has been elevated above heaven. We'll get to that. You know, I'm going to prove that to me. Okay, I will. Imagine that to be on earth is an elevation. Look what we get to enjoy because we were created second. We get to know God. There is no other way than to be created to know God. Even the angels, if they were created first, we were created second. And that was the timeline, because we can see that in Genesis. The serpent was already there, which means he had to have been created first. He's already fallen. We were created second for what? To be created in his image. We have been elevated because we were second. Eve was created second, and this is one of the... When I started reflecting on this and realized what was going on in the reality of two, if Eve was created second, she has been elevated. She has been even elevated above Adam. Adam may have had the authority, but Eve had the promotion, the appreciation. See, Eve represents the church, the bride. We are the bride of Christ. How elevated do you feel because of what the Lord has done for you? If we are the bride of Christ, then just think of the elevation that we received. Jesus thought of us more than himself. He was willing to die in our place. He went down so that we can go up. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. Second has been elevated. We are second. Of course, this is only a drop in the bucket and the book is being written. But I wanted to introduce to you this reality so that you, when you walk out the door, you go, two is everywhere, you got double doors. We walk there with two legs. Always come back to Jesus whenever things, anything, tries to move you away from the focus of him. See, without Jesus, nothing's really meaningful. There is no way that anything will be held together. If we took light and darkness out, if we took evil and good out, if we took our left leg and our right leg out, if we had two wings and we took them out, if we didn't link all those things together with the reality of Jesus, what would life mean? It would mean nothing. It began with two. Bet began with Jesus. How do we understand pain without Jesus? And when he unfolded his arms, one on the one side of the cross and the other on the other side of the cross, what was he illustrating? The reality of two. How do we explain pain without Jesus? Pain was necessary so that he could demonstrate his love for us. How does Jesus show how much he loves us without pain? He can't. He had to be willing to suffer for our sake. Therefore, pain had to exist. A child came, excuse me. A child came to his mother and said this. You tell me you love me and it feels good. I know it's positive, but I don't fully know what it means. Would you tell me what it means? So, what does the mom say? I'll tell you what she doesn't say. She doesn't say, you will always have fun because I'm going to make sure you do. I'll never let you get hurt. You'll never face any difficulties. You will always have your way. You'll never get sick, and you'll never feel pain. That's what it means for me to love you. She is not going to say that. The reason why she's not going to say that is because that is only half her ambition. God did not create the world that way to illustrate that. No, she's not going to say that. She's going to say, no matter what happens, I will always do my best to protect you. I'll be there for you. When you are sick, I'll be there. When you get hurt, I'll be there. When you are lonely, I'll be there. When you're rejected, I'll be there. If you end up in jail, I will be there. If you fail in any way, I will be there. If you are hated, I will be there. Even if you hate me, I will still love you. I will still love you. Nothing you will ever do will ever stop me from loving you. If nobody loves you, I will love you. Now does the child understand what love is? It's not just about feeling good, but it is about comparing the vastness of what we can suffer and still being committed by one person to and for our well-being. He loves you. He has elevated you. He has made you second. You and I are second. Praise the Lord, we are, just as He is second. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, You made your son second. But boy, is that just loaded. And we wouldn't have known had you not begun with the reality of your son. We have not known, we would have not known if we didn't know that he was two. And you continue to reveal to us more and more the reality of who Jesus is, and we see it everywhere. We see it in the physical creation of our own bodies, that you are illustrating that and highlighting that. And at the end, when we have the new heavens and the new earth, those are second, and we will have those for all eternity. The second birth is better than the first, but first birth is required. Father, thank you that you have presented us throughout the scriptures with two, because Jesus was two, and we are two also. Thank you. We praise you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. And so we glorify your name. Amen.